The COVID-19 variant wreaking havoc in India, now in the Philippines. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization has classified that variant as a global concern. Malacañang hints at the further easing of quarantine measures in Metro Manila in the coming days. We'll discuss that with Pateros Mayor Miguel Ponce III. And the Philippine economy contracting for a fifth straight quarter as a prolonged lockdown constricted growth. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. The COVID-19 variant that is said to be causing that catastrophic surge in India has reached the Philippines. Just a few minutes ago, the health department confirmed the country's first two cases of the more contagious variant. We'll have our correspondent Katrina Domingo later to give us more details on this piece of breaking news. But first, the World Health Organization officially classifying that COVID-19 variant first found in India as a variant of concern. It's the fourth variant to be designated as being of global concern. It will require heightened tracking and analysis since this variant spreads more easily. The variant was first identified in October 2020. It has since spread to other countries, and many nations have moved to cut or restrict movements from India.
We are still in a perilous situation. The spread of variants, increased social mixing, the relaxation of public health and social measures, and inequitable vaccination are all driving transmission. Yes, vaccines are reducing severe disease and deaths in countries that are fortunate enough to have them in sufficient quantities. And early results suggest that vaccines might also drive down transmission.
On Monday, the Philippine Foreign Affairs Department confirmed a Filipino personnel working at the embassy in New Delhi has died of COVID-19. With the number of daily coronavirus infections and deaths in India still at near record highs, calls are growing for the government to declare a nationwide lockdown. Here are the details.
Police in Bangalore patrolled the streets on Monday, stopping vehicles, checking IDs, and even herding and whacking lockdown violators. Many states across India have imposed their own lockdown rules to curb the spread of the coronavirus. Prime Minister Narendra Modi is yet to announce a nationwide lockdown despite mounting calls for one. India reported 3,754 deaths on Monday. That's down slightly from peak numbers reported the day before, though some experts say actual figures could be far higher. On Monday, U.S. company Eli Lilly & Co. said it signed licensing deals with Indian drug makers to make and sell its arthritis drug, baricitinib, for the treatment of COVID patients. Meanwhile, medical relief continued to pour in from other countries around the world. Crowds of people queued to get vaccines at a center in Punjab, but calls for social distancing went out the window. Dr. Jasmine is the center manager.
हमने तो पुलिस भी बुलाई है social distance maintain करने के लिए, but people they are not listening to us, and we are saying continuously from the morning कि please social distancing maintain करो.
India is the world's largest vaccine producing nation, with the Serum Institute of India having mass produced the AstraZeneca vaccine. But as of Sunday, the country had fully vaccinated just 2.5% of its population, over 34.3 million people, according to government data. Delhi's health minister said his city was running out of vaccines, the NDTV news channel reported, saying they have just 3 to 4 days of supplies of AstraZeneca's vaccine remaining.
And on to our breaking news this afternoon. As we reported earlier, the variant first detected in India is now here in the Philippines. Our correspondent, Katrina Domingo, now joins us for more on this. Kat, what else can you tell us?
Hi, Carmina. Just a few details on the two overseas Filipino workers who tested positive for carrying the Indian variant of the coronavirus disease. One patient is actually a 37-year-old male who came from Oman, while the other is a 38-year-old male who arrived from the UAE. The DOH tells us that both OFWs have no travel history from India. So basically, they are speculating that the disease, that this variant might already be present in the Middle East. Now, the 37-year-old male is already in his home region of Sokhtarjan, while the other one is already home quarantined in Region 5. The DOH says both patients have already recovered from COVID-19. Now, Carmina, what's important to note here is that while we have already detected two patients carrying this variant, there is still no evidence that there is already community transmission of this particular mutation of the COVID-19, which was first detected in India. However, authorities are actually being more cautious about controlling our borders, particularly because the Indian variant has 15 mutations, two of which are very notable, meaning two of these mutations make this variant more dangerous compared to others. First is called the EEK mutation, or the E484Q, which makes it's also called the escape mutation because it helps the virus get past the body's immune system. While the other notable mutation of the Indian variant is the L452R, which amplifies the virus's ability to become a spreader in communities. Now, the WHO earlier declared this variant as a variant of concern. It's important to note that this variant has actually caused a lot of deaths in India, which prompted the Philippines to implement a travel ban, not only in India, but in nearby countries such as Bangladesh, Pakistan, Nepal, and Sri Lanka. So far, Carmina, no announcement from the DOH on whether or not they would have to adjust several policies to further contain this variant from entering the Philippines. Carmina.
Right, Kat, just a couple of questions for you. So these two OFWs who tested positive for the double mutation of the variant first detected in India, were these part of the five travelers that
nope.
entered the Philippines? Or they come from a different group? Go ahead, Kat.
No, Carmina. Yusek Verhere made that clarification just a few minutes ago. She tells us that of the five positive cases that were reported earlier this week, one tested positive for an A lineage, which is not a variant of concern. One is set for sequencing, and three others have yet to be sequenced by the Philippine Genome Center. So these two cases, or these two carriers of the Indian variant, are separate from these five cases that we reported earlier this week.
And do we have any idea as to when they entered the Philippines, Kat?
Okay, so Carmina, the first patient is a sea-based OFW who entered the Philippines on April 10. The sample, his sample was collected on April 15, and he is now already in his hometown in Sokhtarjan. Now, the second patient arrived in the country on April 19, and the specimen was collected on April 24. He is currently asymptomatic, and according to DOH data, he is already labeled as recovered as of May 6. Just an additional detail. The passengers who were with them in the same flight, most of the DOH says they have no close contacts. But as for those who were seated on the same row, these passengers have already tested negative for the disease.
Okay, I was going to ask you that next. Glad you mentioned that. So, again, no evidence yet of community transmission, but as Katrina Domingo just reported, two OFWs have tested positive for the variant first detected in India, the one responsible for the catastrophic surge happening as we speak in India. More on that, hopefully more details later on in the day. But first, Katrina Domingo there, our correspondent. Thanks so much for joining us today. Keep safe. Take care, Kat. All right, moving on. Malaysia now on nationwide lockdown as the country grapples with a surge in COVID-19 infections. All interstate and interdistrict travel, as well as social gatherings, are banned until June 6. Only economic sectors are allowed to operate. The new measures come ahead of this week's celebration of the end of Ramadan, where millions of Malaysians usually return to their hometowns. Malaysia has seen a spike in coronavirus infections in recent weeks. The country reported 3,807 new cases Monday. Its prime minister warns the current third wave could trigger a national crisis. The Philippine government floats the possibility of looser quarantine level for the Greater Manila area by the middle of this month. Health Secretary Francisco Duque says Metro Manila's two-week growth rate declined and is under moderate risk classification. But he notes, while healthcare utilization rates have decreased in the National Capital Region, it remains under high risk classification at 51%. Dr. Guido David of the Octa Research Group says if government eases restrictions, it should be calibrated and gradual.
We can increase capacity slowly, for example, in some establishments from 10% to 20% or 10% to 30%. What we don't want to do is open up everything, instantly. If we open up everything, the possible message is that everything's okay. And, people might start to become complacent again. I mean, we have to remind people that the variants are still spreading.
The Philippines on Monday logged over 6,000 new COVID-19 cases, 90 additional deaths, and more than 8,000 new recoveries. And for more on the possible easing of quarantine measures in Metro Manila, we're now joined by Pateros Mayor Miguel Ponce III. Mayor Ponce, good afternoon to you and thank you for joining us today.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you also for inviting me.
All right, we're going to talk about the easing of restrictions later on. But first, I want to talk about what is happening there in Pateros. You have a 58% positivity rate in your municipality. What led to this, Mayor?
Yes, actually, it was only recent. We are experiencing right now what we experienced last July and August of 2020. But what is good here is we are now seeing a slow decline in the number of positive that we are testing every day. Mm-hmm. So right now, from about 800 plus positive about 3 weeks ago, we now have a 321 positive cases in our municipality. Mm-hmm. So I believe that what triggered this is also the easing up of the, of course, of the economy. Because we know that it's not only a health issue right now, but we are also considering seriously the economic impact of this pandemic to us. So we are trying to loosen up a little bit, especially those establishments and businesses that were restricted during stricter quarantine classifications. And I believe that these are the main reasons why we experience a little surge in the number of positive every day.
Are you concerned at all of the positivity rate there in your municipality, Mayor? Or well, are you confident that you're able to balance it well, the economic side of it and the health aspect? Go ahead, Mayor.
The confidence is always there, definitely. We are trying to implement previously or during the previous year is the same rules and policies that we are implementing today. Now we have not loosened up or has become complacent in the past months, but we are still very strict in the implementation of the minimum health protocol. And as a matter of fact, we are even adding up some measures to prevent the increase in the COVID-19 positive. So we are not concerned at all because we are doing the same thing that we are doing in the past. And I believe that the increase in the number of positive is actually within the National Capital Region, because we cannot really prevent our people here in Pateros to go out of our municipality and work in the neighboring cities. So they come and go from this place, going to the cities around us, and then they go back here in our place. So the number of positive cases is pretty much the same in our municipality and in the nearby barangays. in the cities that surround us.
So if you take a closer look at the numbers, Mayor, of those who are testing positive, who are these people? What sectors do they belong to?
There are a few senior citizens, but mostly in the middle age, between 25 to 40s. So they are workers. I believe they are workers. And we also believe that in one way or another, they got this virus from the workplace that they've been going through every day.
Mm-mm. And evidence of cluster infections there in Pateros, these laborers, these workers who have to go out and work, are they also the ones responsible for the spread, because they bring it to their homes and it may cause cluster infections? What's the data telling you, Mayor?
Well, necessarily that would be the end result, because if they go to work and then got the virus there and then go back to their respective houses, and we know for the fact that inside the house we do not wear this mask, we do not wear this face shield anymore, and then we associate and mingle with the members of our family, eat together, and then tell stories. So these are the spreader. That's why lately the positive cases that we are detecting is actually among members of the same family. Yeah. Sometimes the whole family, if they are 8, if they are 9, or if they are more than 5 in the family, all of them got infected. Mm. So there are a lot of cases here that where the quarantine were allowed inside the house, because nonetheless all the members of the families are positive just the same. So they might as well do the quarantine inside their house.
You said a while ago, Mayor, that the cases there, the number of cases, that's going down. What have you been doing to contain the spread?
Well, we implement a more strict policy in terms of preventing social gatherings, and then in the observance of the minimum health protocol also. And one of them also is we have been very active in the rollout of our vaccines, though we really have a very limited supply of vaccine up to now, but we make the most out of the number of vaccines that we hold at the moment.
Mm. What about your healthcare system there? How is it faring?
Well, the healthcare system is actually affected also, mm, because of most of the people that were manning the health centers that we have here in Pateros. By the way, we do not have any public hospital, but we only have one private hospital here. Oh. And most of the health services that we are providing are done through the health workers, through the health centers that we have here in our municipality. But because these are the same health workers that we use in the vaccination area, in the isolation facilities, in the testing facilities that we have, definitely the health services that we provide in the health centers are affected.
And given all that, what you just said, Mayor, what do you think about the further easing of quarantine restrictions and how that's going to affect Pateros?
Well, as for me, I don't want to speak in behalf of the other mayors in Metro Manila. As for me alone, if I would be asked, or if you will be asking me as to the quarantine classification in the next few weeks, well, I would still prefer the existing MECQ. Mm-hmm. Because I believe that the problem is not over yet, and we still have a serious problem that we have to address in the coming days. So I think we will be better off if we maintain the MECQ.
I want to talk about the vaccination rollout now, because in an ideal world, the quarantine restrictions and the vaccination rollout, they have to, you know, dance together. There has to be like a seamless dance between these two. Your vaccination rollout, before we get into that, the acceptance of vaccination there in Pateros, it was, I think, at 79%, almost 80%. How is the vaccination rollout coming along, considering that Pateros was also hailed to have a comprehensive vaccination rollout, Mayor?
Yes. actually, the 79 to 80% was the result of the survey that we have conducted. But please be reminded also that even our people, just like the other, of course, the other people in the National Capital Region are willing to get vaccinated, they are somewhat choosing the kind of vaccines that they will have. Uh-oh. So even if we have that the high percentage of those who are willing to get vaccinated or inoculated, they're also waiting for the kind of vaccines that are that we will be that are available in our municipality. Mm-hmm. So right now, we have a pretty much good number in terms of the people that that we get vaccinated vis-a-vis the number of the vaccines that we hold or that we possess. Though, of course, the other people who have already registered for this vaccination are still waiting for the other vaccines to arrive, the other brand.
Hmm. So in your area, they have an option? Your constituents have an option to choose which ones they like?
Well, we do not give them the option. Hmm. Actually, our appeal to them is to get vaccinated immediately with the available vaccines that we have.
Correct.
But of course, we cannot force them. We cannot impose this vaccine on them compulsorily because, of course, it's really their choice. It will still be their choice to get vaccinated with the kind of vaccine that they want.
So how many have been vaccinated in Pateros?
Right now, I believe that we have already vaccinated almost 6,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
6,000 people. We are not really rushing the vaccination because we really do not have that number of vaccines to vaccinate even a number bigger than what I have mentioned.
Yeah, there were a couple of shipments though that came in this week. Is Pateros going to have a share in those?
Yes, I believe we will be given around 1,200 doses of Pfizer. And around 7,200 doses of AstraZeneca. Aside from the Sinovac that we still have right now, which is more than 1,000 doses.
You still have that?
Yes, because we are using this vaccine in the everyday vaccination that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. So, but there are not a lot of takers of Sinovac in Pateros?
I would say that around 30% of those who have already registered are getting vaccinated with Sinovac. The other percentage, meaning the 70%, are waiting for the other brand of vaccines to arrive.
So you have about close to 9,000 vaccines that are coming that have been allocated for Pateros. When is that coming this week? And how might that affect the vaccination rollout there in Pateros?
Definitely, we are expecting the vaccines to be delivered to us within the week. I'm not really very sure when we will get the notice. I know that it's ready, it's already ready for pickup. Mm-hmm. But I believe that with the coming of this Pfizer and AstraZeneca vaccines, the rollout will be much faster than before because people are really waiting for this. Mm-hmm. Now they will have a choice because once they are in the vaccination centers, we will be giving them choices whether to get inoculated with Sinovac, Pfizer, or AstraZeneca.
All right. And I have to leave it at that. Pateros Mayor Ponce, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Ingat po kayo. You take care.
Okay. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Take care also. God bless.
Great. Thank you. Moving on, the chief of Caloocan City's Police Substation 9, well, he's been relieved from his post over the illegal mass gathering at a resort. The Gubat sa Ciudad Resort was under Police Major Harold Aaron Melgar's jurisdiction. On Mother's Day, about 300 people were caught on camera at the resort violating quarantine rules. The resort has already been closed down and Caloocan plans to file charges against its management. Mayor Oscar Malapitan reiterates his call for the resort's visitors to go into quarantine and get tested for COVID-19.
Naglalagay rin tayo ng swab booth. Papaswab ko natin ho sila. doon sa sports complex, the same barangay, na po pwede ko silang magpunta ko roon at magpaswab ng libre.
We're going to take a break now. Coming up, the Philippines goes into its longest recession since the Marcos era. This and more in Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The COVID-19 variant wreaking havoc in India, now in the Philippines. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization has classified that variant as a global concern. Malacanang hints at the further easing of quarantine measures in Metro Manila in the coming days. And the Philippine economy contracting for a fifth straight quarter as a prolonged lockdown constricted growth. And we have this just in. President Rodrigo Duterte has declared a state of calamity due to the African swine fever outbreak. The order increases the minimum access volume of pork imports this year from 54,210 metric tons to 254,210 metric tons. The declaration comes after government and the Senate reached a compromise on pork import tariffs and volume. We'll give you more details in our succeeding newscasts. While the Philippines enters its longest recession since the Marcos years, Manila's economy dropped worse than expected in the first 3 months of this year, marking five straight quarters of contraction, no thanks to prolonged COVID-19 lockdowns. Our correspondent Warren De Guzman now joins us for more on this. Warren, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. The Philippine economy contracted by 4.2% in the first quarter of 2021, worse than most private sector expectations. This was the first time the Philippine economy has contracted for five consecutive quarters since the debt crisis of the 1980s. That decline lasted for nine consecutive quarters. Social Economic Planning Secretary Carl Chua says this losing streak won't last as long because the 2021 COVID-19 spike is already easing. Chua said at the peak of this spike, NCR cases were above 5,000. The latest data show NCR cases has gone down by 60% to 2,000. When we had the MECQ last August, we hit a high of 4,000 cases. When we hit 2,000 cases, we moved to GCQ. So there are some indications that there is some opening to relax the quarantine. But this is subject to IATF resolution when we do the cost-benefit analysis. Another reason Chua gave was the conditions of the 2021 lockdowns. He noted the 2021 enhanced community quarantine and modified enhanced community quarantines allowed for more movement and economic activity. In 2020, the lockdowns effectively shut down 75% of the economy. Chua, however, noted that ultimately the COVID-19 pandemic is a health crisis and must be addressed as so. He said improvements have been made, such as the increase of intensive care unit bed capacity in hospitals. However, he said more needs to be done. He said our contact tracing is not as fast as we wanted. Chua said based on epidemiological models, faster contact tracing would greatly reduce new cases and facilitate a quicker return to lighter quarantine conditions. Based on available data as of May 11th, the Philippine economy had the worst performing economy amongst major ASEAN nations. Household spending, capital formation, exports and imports all contracted on the demand side. Government spending expanded at its fastest pace in three quarters, rising 16.1%. But that was not enough to offset the other losses. Looking at supply side growth, all of the sectors actually contracted. Agriculture contracted for a second consecutive quarter. This was blamed on the African fever. African swine flu fever, and of course, services contracted for a fourth straight quarter, and industry contracted for a fifth straight quarter. For now, the government said it will stick to its 6.5 to 7.5% GDP growth forecast range for the full year of 2021. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Warren De Guzman there joining us on the line. Keep safe, Warren. Moving on, COVID-19 vaccines from Pfizer-BioNTech set to be brought to Metro Manila, Cebu, and Davao. The nearly 200,000 jabs were delivered Monday night from the COVAX facility. It's the fourth COVID-19 vaccine brand to arrive in the Philippines. The health department says more jabs are expected to arrive soon.
we have that kind of mechanism where kapag nagbibigay ho tayo ng first dose, we usually reserve the second dose, lalong-lalo na po sa mga ganitong klaseng bakuna para hindi po tayo nag-aalinlangan kung magkaka-second dose ang ating mga kababayan.
Over in the U.S., the Food and Drug Administration has authorized the use of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for children as young as 12 years old. The move is seen as an important step for getting children back into schools safely. An advisory committee of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will meet in the coming days to review the data and make recommendations for the vaccine's use in 12 to 15 years old or year olds. Nearly 46% of the people in the U.S. have received at least one shot of the COVID-19 vaccine, but the pace of vaccinations there has slowed significantly.
We know this is a big step for our country. Vaccinating a younger population brings us closer to returning to a sense of normalcy and to ending the pandemic. Now, parents and guardians can rest assured that in making our decision, the agency undertook a rigorous and thorough review of all available scientific data, as we have with all the COVID-19 vaccine authorizations.
A joke. That's how President Rodrigo Duterte is describing his 2016 campaign promise to ride a jet ski to challenge China's incursions in the Spratly Islands. This was a promise he made to a Filipino fisherman whose livelihood was hurt by China's incursions in Philippine waters. Duterte called those who believed his statement 5 years ago stupid.
Alam mo, panahon ng kampanya yun. Hindi siguro sanay itong mga na style ko sa kampanya. Yung biro na yun, yung dela we call it bravado, yung bravado ko, that's a pure campaign joke. At kung naniniwala kayo sa kabila, pati na siguro si Carpio, pati si I would say that you are really stupid.
Well, Philippine Senator Panfilo Lacson slamming President Duterte for making his jokes on key issues like the country's maritime row with China. Lacson says Duterte's confusing statements should teach Filipinos to be more discerning of those running in the elections. The senator also says Manila should build stronger alliances with natural allies when it comes to dealing with China's incursions in Philippine waters. That includes utilizing Manila's mutual defense treaty with the United States.
I have talked to the U.S. diplomats assigned here in the Philippines. They said Washington has been indicating to them maintain that close coordination with the Philippine authorities because they cannot just allow China to lord it over in the West Philippine Sea area because this is the Indo-Pacific region and they also have their interests here.
Amid an accusation that he sees China's leader as his personal protector, President Duterte reveals he personally asked China for help in fighting COVID-19. Duterte says he called Chinese President Xi Jinping and asked if Beijing could spare coronavirus jabs. But the chief executive insists the West Philippine Sea issue was never discussed during their conversation. Duterte reiterates he owes a debt of gratitude to China for donating millions of vaccines.
It is never, never wrong to say that I owe you a debt of gratitude. Totoo eh. Binigyan tayo, tinanggap natin, ginamit natin. But it does not mean na tanggapin ko yung bakuna at tapos sabihin ko, kalimutan ko na yung claim dyan sa West Philippine Sea. Okay na yun dahil sa bako. It is never like that. There will be no compromise. Alam ng China, baske bahayan tayo dito ng vaccine, gagamitin ko pa rin. So sabihin ko, hindi ito yung kabayaran. Iba ito. This is a Philippine national interest.
Meanwhile, President Rodrigo Duterte insists he is not afraid of retired Supreme Court Justice Antonio Carpio. Si Duterte earlier challenged Carpio to debate on the West Philippine Sea issue, which he later backed out from. The president says he tapped out because anything he could say might bind future actions of government. He again pinned the blame on China's incursions on the administration of his predecessor, Benigno Aquino III.
Sino ang nagbigay ng possession sa China sa West Philippine Sea? Sila. Kaya kung hindi sila umalis, di walang problema. Bakit hindi nila in-enforce? He could have said, look, you allowed us to mediate. Then the result of that mediation must be followed. Ipapasubok mo ako. But America did nothing. Apparently, I don't know. Maybe afraid of China would turn its direction towards them. Ang ginasabi ko na sa kanilang possession, it's not really about ownership. It's not about sovereignty. Hindi ako takot sa iyo. Ang problema lang kasi dito is nakalimutan ko na si Carpio ang hindi ang presidente, ako.
For Duterte's cabinet members, there is also nothing to debate about since Carpio had supposedly admitted China took control of Scarborough Shoal during the Aquino administration and the Mischief Reef during the Ramos administration.
Mr. President, mulat sa pool, hindi ako sang-ayon doon sa debate. Unang-una, ano bang pagdidebate yan? Result naman yung mga issue. Inaamin ni ex-Justice Carpio na yung Scarborough Shoal ay kinuha ng China sa ilalim ng administrasyong Aquino. Sinabi niya po yun sa kanyang press statement. Sinabi niya rin na isang teritoryo pa kinuha naman sa panahon ni Ramos.
If I have UNCLOS on my side saying it's we are within the exclusive economic zone and the Chinese ship is not, from my point of view, then I'll just look at the other side and say, go. And you go, I'll go. And you go first. Instead, our side withdrew. So what happens to our claim that this is ours? If you believe, your government at that time believes that that is yours, why will you withdraw?
Over 2 months since his legal defeat, Bongbong Marcos now asking the Presidential Electoral Tribunal to reconsider its ruling in his electoral protest against Vice President Leni Robredo. ABS-CBN's Mike Navalio now joins us for details. Mike, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. The 2016 Vice Presidential candidate Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr. is not throwing in the towel just yet. He filed yesterday a motion asking the Supreme Court, sitting as the Presidential Electoral Tribunal, to reconsider its earlier ruling dismissing his election protest against Vice President Leni Robredo. In a 96-page motion, Marcos said the PET should not have relied on technicalities, insisting that his third cause of action, an annulment of elections in three Mindanao provinces, is independent and should not have been dismissed. The PET in February junked Marcos's election protest after close to 5 years, citing his abject failure to specify and prove allegations of fraud. The tribunal also cited its failure to establish substantial recovery of votes in the three pilot provinces that underwent initial recounts, where Robredo's lead grew by 15,000 votes. Rule 65 of the 2010 PET rules allows the dismissal of the entire election protest without further consideration of the other provinces if the protestant will most probably fail to make out his case after the initial recount involving three provinces. In his motion for reconsideration, Marcos said his third cause of action for the annulment of elections in Lanao del Sur, Basilan, and Maguindanao is separate and distinct and can proceed independently of the result of the recount. He pointed out that while the second cause of action for judicial revision and manual recount involved reopening of the ballot boxes in 36,000 cluster precincts, the same is not required in the general elections in more than 2,000 cluster precincts in the three Mindanao provinces. Marcos rejected the application of Rule 65 for his entire election protest, saying the rule on three pilot provinces applies only to manual recounts. He cited separate opinions of retired Chief Justice Isabel Peralta and Associate Justice Samuel Guerlain. Peralta said new rules should be formulated for the annulment of elections, while Guerlain invoked Rule 74 of the PC rules and amendment of existing rules. But both Peralta and Guerlain concurred in the results and voted with the majority to junk Marcos's election protest. Marcos also claimed that he pleaded substantial basis for the annulment of election results in the three Mindanao provinces since he invoked ultimate facts and is not required to present evidence at this time. Now, in a statement, Vice President Lenny Robredo's lawyer, Romulo Macalintal, dismissed Marcos's motion, saying Mr. Marcos would be the luckiest man in the world if he could reverse the unanimous decision by merely repeating the same issues and arguments already decided by the entire presidential electoral tribunal. Samina?
Thanks a lot. Mike Navalio there, joining us on the line. Keep safe, Mike. Take care. News overseas now. Violence intensifies in Gaza. Airstrikes from Israel have killed at least 20 people, 9 of them children. Here's the full story.
Eyewitness video shows the white contrails of Israel's missile defense system cutting across the sky, then moving to intercept Palestinian rockets fired from the Gaza Strip on Monday. Islamist militants fired a barrage of rockets toward Jerusalem and southern Israel in what the Palestinian Hamas group said was punishment for violent confrontations between Israeli police and Palestinian protesters. The rockets triggered air raid warnings, sending Israeli school children into bomb shelters. There were no immediate reports of casualties from the rocket fire in Israel. Retaliation from Israel was swift. In Gaza, the health ministry said at least 20 people, including 9 children, were killed in Israeli airstrikes on the Palestinian territory. Some of the injured were brought to this hospital in northern Gaza, where a child cried out in pain, and a woman who lost her husband screamed as she followed his body out of the hospital. Israel's military said it carried out strikes against armed groups, rocket launchers, and military posts in Gaza. After militants there crossed what Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called a red line by firing on the Jerusalem area for the first time since the 2014 war.
The terrorist organizations crossed a red line on Jerusalem Day and attacked us on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Israel will respond very forcefully.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on Monday urged all sides to take steps to reduce tensions.
Needless to say, we're very focused on the situation in Israel, West Bank, Gaza. Very deeply concerned about the rocket attacks that we're seeing now need to stop. They need to stop immediately.
Tensions have been rising for weeks in Jerusalem. Jewish groups are trying to evict Palestinian residents from a neighborhood in the eastern part of the city. As Israel celebrated Jerusalem Day earlier on Monday with marches marking its capture of eastern sections of the Holy City in the 1967 Arab-Israeli War, violence erupted at Al-Aqsa Mosque, Islam's third most sacred site. The Palestinian Red Crescent Society said more than 300 Palestinians were injured in clashes with police who fired rubber bullets, stun grenades, and tear gas.
In New Zealand, a man has been detained following a stabbing spree at a supermarket. Here's the full story.
4 people were stabbed on Monday in a supermarket in Dunedin on New Zealand's South Island, police said, after detaining the man believed to have been responsible. Police arrived to find shoppers at the Countdown supermarket had detained the attacker. The victims are in hospital, along with the alleged assailant, who is under police guard. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said the attack did not appear to be terror-related.
I am advised, and I do caveat that this is early stages, I am advised that at this stage there is nothing to suggest from the police's perspective that this is what they would define as a domestic terror event.
The country has been on high alert for terrorism-related attacks after a white supremacist gunman killed 51 people in 2 mosques in Christchurch in 2019. Police said they had yet to formally interview or charge the alleged offender and would investigate the motive for the assault.
A French court dismissed a lawsuit by a French-Vietnamese woman against multinational companies that produced and sold the toxic herbicide dubbed Agent Orange during the Vietnam War. Now, we warn you, this report contains graphic content.
A French court has thrown out a lawsuit by a French-Vietnamese woman against more than a dozen multinational companies that produced and sold the toxic herbicide called Agent Orange, used by American forces during the Vietnam War, a chemical that has long been alleged to be connected to poisoning and deformities in Vietnam, in disturbing footage which will follow. The case, filed in 2014, pitched 79-year-old Tran Tôn Nha against 14 chemical firms, including Dow Chemical and Monsanto, which is now owned by Bayer. Tran worked as a journalist and activist in Vietnam in her 20s and says she suffers from the effects of exposure to Agent Orange, including type 2 diabetes and a rare insulin allergy. The multinationals had argued they could not be held responsible for how the US military used their product. Local media reported the court ruled it did not have jurisdiction to judge a case involving the US government's wartime actions. Tran Tôn Nha told Reuters she would appeal. Millions of gallons of Agent Orange was dropped during the war to defoliate jungles and destroy Viet Cong crops. The US government has maintained there is no proven link between the spraying and the claims of poisoning, although American veterans have won compensation in other cases.
U.S. TV network NBC is not airing this year's Golden Globes night due to ethics complaints. Here are the details.
NBC announced on Monday that it will not broadcast the 2022 Golden Globe ceremony after complaints about ethical lapses and lack of diversity among the Hollywood Foreign Press, the group that hands out the annual awards for film and television. Despite plans last week to reform the HFPA to recruit more black members, among other changes over the next 18 months, NBC released a statement Monday that the reforms were not quick enough, saying, quote, "Change of this magnitude takes time and work, and we feel strongly that the HFPA needs time to do it right. As such, NBC will not air the 2022 Golden Globes." The move follows an investigation published in February by the Los Angeles Times that noted that there were no black journalists currently in the HFPA. The newspaper also raised long-standing ethical questions over the close relationship between the HFPA and movie studios that may influence the choice of Golden Globe nominees and winners. Actors and actresses have taken a stance. According to Variety and Deadline Hollywood, Tom Cruise joined a revolt led by streaming platforms and studios, returning the 3 Golden Globe statuettes he won for his roles in Jerry Maguire, Magnolia, and Born on the 4th of July. While Scarlett Johansson on Saturday joined critics including Netflix, Amazon Studios, Warner Media, and dozens of Hollywood's top publicity companies who said they would no longer work with the HFPA unless it made far-reaching changes. The annual Golden Globe ceremony has become one of the biggest Hollywood award shows in the run-up to the Oscars.
In sports, former NBA MVP Russell Westbrook has claimed what was believed to be one of the league's most unbreakable records. See, the Washington Wizards point guard passed the great Oscar Robertson for the most career triple-doubles. Westbrook earned his 182nd triple-double, and the Wizards lost to the Atlanta Hawks Monday. He finished with 28 points, 13 rebounds, and 21 assists. Just how hard was it to break Robertson's record of 181 triple-doubles? Well, Michael Johnson, arguably the greatest point guard in NBA history, finished his career with only 138. That's a distant third in the record books. LeBron James only has 99, while the legendary Michael Jordan had just 28 career triple-doubles. Russian President Vladimir Putin was back on the ice playing his favorite sport, ice hockey. Putin lit up the opposing side with several goals in the game that was held in the city of Sochi. It's his first appearance in an ice hockey match since the pandemic began. The Russian leader was vaccinated against COVID-19 over a month ago. So far, Russia has vaccinated 21.5 million of its citizens. That's about 15% of its population. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, you guys. Keep it here on ANC.